this morning, the title of the message is The Time Is Now. That's our theme right now, amen. The time is now to pass the test. The title of this morning's message is The Time Is Now to Pass the Test. Because when we're going through it, Jesus is still in control. He's always excited. He's always waiting and willing to bless that man or that woman or that youth member that's somewhere in the valley of hard timing it. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible reads, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Father, we thank you, we love you, give you the glory and all the honor. Speak through me this day, Lord, with a clarity that they may be understanding from your sons and daughters, and that we may not just understand, but that we may apply your word, Lord, so that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. I'm going to do a little reading from verse 1 through 19. Amen. From verse 1 through 19. There are chapter 22. If you don't have a Bible, you can view the screens, amen. And every scripture that's going to be used today will be on the screens, amen. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Real familiar story. I know for some it's the first time you hear it. Let's, even if you've heard this many times, the Lord has some revelation for you today. And placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up. There in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. When he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. How many know that we're right now, we are on the mountaintop, we're in the presence of the Lord, and whatever is needed right now will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because what you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashores. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. I'm going to be speaking about passing the test that you are in right now, or passing the test that's about around the corner coming your way. How many know that we will have tests in this life? There will be hard times within this life that we live, dealing with other family members, and at times there's going to be hard times dealing with our very own individual lives. Nevertheless, there will be hard times. Verse 1 said that sometime later, God tested Abraham. In other words, Abraham, I put here, had been tested before. Sometime later. How many were in a test a while back ago and you find yourself in another test? Amen? Abraham had been tested before. I need everybody listening up here this morning, if you're taking notes, I want you to be taking notes. This message applies for all of our lives, not just for a few or the guys in the rehab. It applies for all of us. We need to know this morning as sons and daughters that we will be tested by God each stage of our growth. We're going to be tested by God. The Bible says he takes us from glory to glory to glory. We're going to be tested by God every stage of growth within our life with Jesus. There's just not one test. There will be many tests that are given by God that you and I must pass. We also need to know that as sons and daughters, that no matter how hard the test is, if it is from God, it is meant to be passed. No matter how hard it was for Abraham in what God was calling from his life to sacrifice his son, his only son, the promised son, as a burnt offering, no matter how hard the test was, Abraham knew that the test was from God. I believe if each and every one of us as parents would say, God would speak to us like that, or go kill our son or our daughter, you would say something like, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, behind me. There's times that we're in a test that we feel is of the enemy, but it's of God. And there's a reason that we must go through the tests of life, of being disciples, sons and daughters of Jesus. The test, if it's from God, it's meant to be passed. Verse 2, the Bible tells us then, God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountains I will tell you about. all Abraham had to go off of here, the only direction the Lord told him was within the region of Moriah. He says, go to the region of Moriah, and I will show you what mountain within the region of Moriah that I want you to sacrifice your son. That would be like telling somebody from my past, Pastor Herb's church in Salinas, California, go to the region of the Great Lakes, which is made up of seven churches, amen, Rockford, Minnesota, amen, parts of Chicago here. Go to the region of the Great Lakes, and when you get there, I'll show you the mountain where I want you to make this sacrifice. Sometimes, just because we ain't got all the instructions, don't mean it's not from God. That's all he had to go off of, to go to the region of Moriah. And God tells him through his word that he would show him on what mountain. In 12:1, it was when God would first call him, the Lord. In 12:1 is the calling upon the Abraham's life. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Just leave. Last week, I spoke about not hesitating. Amen? For us not to hesitate when we know it's God calling us. You see, Abraham had already been through several tests. He passed the very initial test of the calling of God upon his life in 12:1. He says, leave, take your family, leave it, and I'll show you when you get there. And once again in chapter 22, once again, he's not giving all the details, even though it deals with sacrificing his son. I believe most of us, if we had that type of faith, would say, come on, if you want me to sacrifice, you at least tell me where to go to. I put here, all tests from God will call for faith. Write it down as simple as that sounds. All tests from God will call for faith on our parts. Sometimes it just ain't going to make sense. Sometimes it's just not going to be fair. Why me? Because God has called you. He's called you. There's a purpose within your life that he not only wants to show you, but want to help others. All tests from God will call for faith. I put here a little side note that I put in early this morning. You can't answer the call of God on your ability. Simple, but it's revelation. Too many people trying to answer the call of God upon their ability of education, finances, experiences in Jesus, experiences because you know what the word of the Lord says. You know that you can know the word of the Lord very well and still operate on your own ability. You can't answer the call of God on your ability. In Genesis 22:3, the Bible reads, early the next morning. Wow. The Bible says Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He did not hesitate. Even though he fully didn't know where he was going, even though the test called for the sacrificing his only son. As you read a little bit more, the Bible says that it wasn't just like, go two blocks and make a right. But it was a three-day journey. A three-day journey. He had a lot of time to think about what he had to do. It was a three-day journey. And I believe that Abraham used his time on that walk being positive. He told the Lord at the real beginning, here I am. I believe when the test comes our way, there's sometimes time in answering properly and correctly to the test, but sometimes through the time we start to think incorrectly. Tell your neighbor, we need to pass the test. It's from God. At the end of verse 3, the Bible reads, when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. I put here, every sacrifice will call for preparation. Every sacrifice will call for preparation. I put a little side note here. Preparation guarantees fire. Preparation guarantees fire. Abraham knew when he had the right amount of wood. The Bible says that he had enough wood. That he had enough wood. I got this message reading between the lines, being led of the Spirit. Here, Abraham, I put, not knowing the location of the mountain. He knew the region where to go, but not the location of the mountain. Did not know if there would be trees there for firewood. It was a 3-day journey, talking about wanting to pass the test, talking about wanting to be sure he would prepare enough wood before even leaving, having to carry this wood. He put it on his boy. He would have to carry the wood for a 3-day journey. He could have just got up the next morning and left. And on the way of that three-day journey, just prayfully, there was trees around that certain mountain that God was going to show him when he got there. We need preparation in our life in order to pass the tests that are coming our way that are from God. And too many times, we don't have enough wood. I believe one of the greatest reasons Christians fail is not because the test of God is too great for them. It's because they don't prepare themselves in Jesus. They don't have enough wood to keep the fire burning within their lives. The fire of the Holy Ghost. And too many times, the best you can get is smoke or burnt out fire. That at one time was burning strong, but now no longer burns because not enough wood. I believe God's word and prayer allows us to have enough wood to keep the fire burning, to be able to pass the test. But too many times we want the fire of the Holy Ghost, but there ain't no wood. There's no preparation. And we just hope that we can come to church and that the fire will be there because someone else prepared themselves before coming to church. The Lord's speaking here this morning. Too many times we just want to come and warm ourselves by somebody else's fire. By somebody else's work, by somebody else's sacrifice. And we'll say something, man, you feel the Lord in here? He say, yeah. My question is, did you come with wood this morning? Were you part of the fire that fell this morning? That you felt, that you know is here right now? Because there's a few that are preparing themselves in the church. You just might be sitting next to that person that came with enough wood to have a fire this day, for the pulpit to be the burning bush this morning. God speaking to your life. Hear Abraham. Every leader, I always think, should see the big picture. He saw the big picture. I believe he knew how far Moriah was. I believe he knew it was a 3-day journey. Even though he didn't know where the mountain was at, he says, man, I'm going to prepare myself. I ain't going to go sacrifice my son without no wood. He said, I got the fire. I got the knife. Where's the wood? His son would say, Father, we got the wood. We got the knife. You got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? Okay, so we got some wood here this day, amen? We got some fire going. We're going to need some sacrifices now. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord, but there's times you're going to have to roll up your sleeve and become the sacrifice for somebody else's life to get right in Jesus. Nobody likes the part when it calls for sacrifice. For cutting wood. What do you mean? I'm a leader. I don't cut wood no more. I ain't no woodcutter. I've been cutting wood long enough. Abraham didn't know the mountain. He just knew the general place where God had told him to go to. And he cut the wood before even leaving. He knew how much wood it takes to have a burnt offering, amen? To have a sacrifice take place. Question. Do you have enough wood right now to pass the test of God? See, there's some tests that others can help you, that I can help you in, and I can come with my firewood, I can come with the fire, I can come with the knife and sacrifice myself over and over for you. But there's some tests that you're going to have to learn how to pass just between you and God. You can't blame on the pastor. You can't blame it on the leaders. There's some tests that come from God that are meant to be passed just between you and God, where He wants to be the source. For He wants you to prepare. For He wants you to get enough wood, have enough wisdom, insight, discernment, so that we can have fire, an all-consuming fire of the Lord that removes whatever you're going through, that refines what needs to be refined within our lives. See, fire is good. But in natural, in the schools, the fire department comes once a year, the bells ring, and we're taught to run from fire. Run out of the school, line up, run! Jesus calls us to run to the fire. To the fire. I said here, you can't have a burnt offering without wood. In verse 5, the Bible reads, he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we'll be back. We'll come back to you. Man, Abraham was working on some big faith. I put here, sometimes within the process of the test, you got to leave behind friends that will detour you from passing the test. I have another point here. It says, just because they're your friends don't mean they want you to pass the test. Better write that one down, man. It happens all the time. Just because they say they love you and they BFF or whatever, best friend forever, don't really mean they want to see you pass the test. You know, the majority of people, even in Christ, want to see you fail the test? When we should be praying for people, the Bible says even to pray for your enemies. We got to be careful who we call friend. Just because they're your friends don't mean they really want you to pass the test you're in right now. Because if you don't pass it, they're able to counsel you and love you and just make you feel better. And don't worry about it. I know where you're at. It's okay. And they're able to give you garbage counseling. And it looks good and they're making you feel good. But you have failed the test that was meant to be passed. And so many times we can be encouraged by our friends as we fail the test, as it's almost good to fail the test. You'd be surprised that you have less friends when you're passing the test than you have when you're failing the test. Kind of hard to hang out with somebody that's always passing the test, that always got plenty of wood, that always has fire in their life, that always is positive. That friend that used to have been your best friend, when you start growing like that, before you know it, they will no longer be your friend. There's an old saying that says, birds of a feather flock together. Testing always precedes promotion. Testing always precedes promotions. My last little point on friends. Friends don't always want to see you promote it. They want you to stay where they're at. For you can make each other feel good while failing the test of God. I have another point here that says self-promotion or promotion by others. Self-promotion or promotion by others can never replace divine promotion. Self-promotion or promotion by others, that could be a friend, can never replace divine promotion of God. In verses 6 and 7 of chapter 22, the Bible says that Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? And verse 8 says, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. Here, passing, let me see in verse 8. And the end of verse 8, the Bible reads and goes on to say, and the two of them went on together. His son had a real, real good question. He had been at burnt offerings before. He knew the ritual, and he said, man, we got everything but the lamb. We got everything but the sacrifice. And God and Father Abraham, his father looks back to him and says, hey, son, don't worry about it, man. God will provide the sacrifice. He'll provide the lamb. I put here, passing the test for Abraham would also call for his son's trust in him. Passing the test for Abraham would also call for his son to trust in him. There's times that are often that I'm in a big test that comes from God. He uses people. Some tests are positive, some are negative, but nevertheless, if God allows it, it comes from God. Unless we're out there doing all this crazy stuff, then you made that test come on your own, and you're going to fail it. There's times that I'm in a test, and within my test, I need the disciples that God has given me, amen, to work with, to trust in me. In order for us to continue to go forward, the Bible says that Isaac had a good question, and where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, he didn't sugarcoat it. He was speaking by faith. He says, got this, man. God will provide the lamb. And the Bible goes on, Isaac could have said, no, wait a minute, man. I've been carrying this wood now for 2 days, man. I have all rights to know why ain't no sacrifice. Why did you leave the servants behind? What's going on, Dad? This sacrifice, it's a little different. It's not like we usually do it. Abraham would tell his son, God will provide the sacrifice. And the Bible goes on at the end of verse 8 to say that they both continued to go forward. There was communication taking place between Abraham and his son. Verse 8 says, God himself will provide the lamb. Write this point down. It's from the throne. There's some things within this life that only God can provide for you. Remember, it's the calling of God upon your life. Your ability cannot do it on its best day with a pocket and a bank full of money. It's a call of God. It's greater than money. It's greater than any man, any woman. It's the call of God. There's sometimes that you're going to be going through something that only God can provide. That only God can do. And I believe there is some right now within that test that you know the answer cannot come from a doctor, from money, from your husband, from your wife, not even your pastor. And you know it's going to take the divine call of God and provision of God in order to remove whatever it is. You're going to have to call upon God. God is the only one that's going to be able to provide what you need at certain times within your life. And you will know in your spirit right now that it's got to be God in order to do the miracle you need. It's got to be the provision of God. Good luck ain't going to do it. Being here on time today at church ain't going to do it. It's going to take fire of God. And it really bothers me when I see people that need a God intervention. It's not that intervention you watch on TV where they send the drug addict there and it's a drug intervention or whatever it's called. And some lady's talking. Every time that lady starts talking, I says, man, I could outwit her on my worst day in my sleep. And they got these billion-dollar buildings getting paid millions. For the lady says, well, you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go. Junior, you're going to have to let go. Junior. Junior has got drug problem, but it's your fault, Mom. You got to let go of Junior. They're getting paid millions and millions. And millions, and I'm saying, what? Then they take Junior. They finally talk him into it. Jesus is nowhere in the picture. They talk Junior. He's already got the shakes. They're getting him to the plane. And then they go into this gourd. It looks like the plane of Eve, man, Eden. Like the Garden of Eden. They get to this place, billion-dollar properties. And Junior's walking there all sucked up and wanting to smoke. And billion-dollar property. And they put Junior in the hot seat. Let it out, Junior. Let it out. Let it out, Junior. It finishes. Junior's doing good. He puts on some weight. And it boggles me that they tell the truth on that. Then it gives a little document how good Junior was doing, but that a year later, he relapsed. And that lady's in somebody else's house saying, you gotta let go, Junior, Mom. You're a codependent, and until you let go, and Junior's going to continue to use drugs. There's some times in your life, in my life, where the only provision can be God. The only provision can be God. Stop feeling sorry for yourself like if that's going to change the situation within your life. That's what the devil wants you to do. Feel sorry for yourself. When you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God. Divine promotion will always provide. Self-promotion or promotion by others will almost all the time provide and say what you want to hear, but divine promotion from God is able to do the miracle in your life. I really believe I put here this morning that there's times that we're placed in a test by God so that He can show us and others that He is our provider, that He's the miracle worker. He's looking for some men and women that can have faith in Him so He can move and do what He wants to do so you can become a witness to the others that are stuck in the same place you're at. I believe right now the Lord is in short. There's a shortness for men of God and women of God that are able to witness in and out of season. To be that witness. That God is my provider. I've been in a million spots where it had to be God and God alone. And out of those thousand times, God alone always provided. Verse 9 reads, the Bible says when they reached the place God had told him about. In verse 2, God showed him in the direction to go, but now God told him. Tells me that this process that was hard for Abraham, that he was in communication with God. He had time on his hands. It was a three-day journey. He wasn't wasting time during those 3 days. That's how long it took to get from point A to point B where God had told him to go. God said He would show him now. We're in verse 9, and it says that where God told him. Tells me through this process that was hard for Abraham that he was in communication with God. Too many times people stop communicating with God where they're in the test of God. Every test from God I put here, every test from God calls for communication. Tell your neighbor, communication. These are all thoughts from the throne right here. Every test from God calls for communication with God, communication with your pastor. It calls for a relationship. Abraham had a relationship which allowed him to prepare for the test. That prepared him to pass the test. He had a relationship with God as his provider. He wasn't under religion. He wasn't going to church and doing all that stuff. That ain't going to help nobody. That's religion, and religion kills. I say it over and over and over. We need to establish a relationship with God. That if the test came from God, God has the answer to the test for your life. I preached a long time ago that every test from God is an open book test. Everything you go through is in this one book. You ain't got to go read 100 shrink books and what the shrink doctor is saying to go read, and this author and Dr. Feelgood and Phil and all those guys and the lady that does intervention, amen, that talks more to the family than the drug addict. It's an open book test. It's an open book test. All the tests from God are meant to be passed. But too many times when we're in the test of God, we close the book with the answers. The last thing we want to do is read the Bible. If God loved me so much, why would I be going through this? You got to crack the Bible open. He needs a sacrifice. He needs some evidence of what he's able to do in a man's life, in a woman's life. In verse 10, maybe remember in verse 1, he said, let's go to verse 1. 22:11. This was the beginning of the call, right? When he called me here at the beginning where we're talking about, amen. And the Bible says that Moses said, let me go to the Bible. I closed my Bible. See what happens when you close your Bible? See what happens? I wasn't going off the screens today. I said, it's one page. I'm going to stay on it. Even the pastor got stuck when he closed the Bible. Let's go to verse 10. Follow me, Chris. Pastor, you just said, I said that back then, but now I got the Bible open. Verse 10. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife. Sun's laid out. He's on top of the wood that he had been carrying. Now the wood was carrying him, amen. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. What did Abraham say? Here I am, he replied. Here I am. What did Abraham say at the beginning of the test? In 22:1, sometimes later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. See, sometimes we start off strong and we say, here I am, like Moses did. But then when God told Moses what to go do, he says, who am I? From here am I to who am I to go before the Pharaoh? Here Abraham started strong. He was about to put in some work. And the angel of the Lord called out to him and he says, here am I, he replied. He was where he was supposed to be. You see, when we are where we're supposed to be and we're carrying out what God has called us to carry out, he will provide. He will provide that miracle, but we need to be in position, walking in faith, and with enough wood to have some fire. There was no hesitation in Abraham. Here am I, here am I. Verse 12 says that, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. John 3:16 says, it's a real good comparison here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that he, whoever believes in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's go to Romans 8:32. I like this one. I like this verse right here. It says, he who did not spare his own son. We're talking about the Father and Jesus now. No longer Abraham and his son. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In other words, here the Father did not spare his only son. And if he did not spare his only son, why would, I mean, that was the ultimate sacrifice right there from the Father, his only son. If he was willing to give up his only son for us all, how much more would Jesus not be able to graciously give us all things that we need right now? Whether it's things dealing in the natural, things dealing in the supernatural, a miracle, spiritual healing, physical healing, whatever it may be. We have a Father that didn't hold back at all for your life and my life. His only begotten Son. Abraham did what Jesus would do later on. He was willing to give up his only son, the son of promise, where all the promises that were given to him by God himself in the real beginning of the call of Abraham. In Genesis 22:13, the Bible reads, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrifices as a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead of his son. I put here, the same people cannot continue to do all the sacrifice within the church. The same people cannot continue to do all the sacrifice within the church. I believe as leaders, there's times that we can get so caught up in the sacrifice that we never look up and see who else God is wanting to use in the church. Good point. Real good stuff right there. So many times we're at work and we're ministry, and we're not looking who else the Lord is bringing into the sheepfold. It can't be the same leaders doing all the sacrifices day in and day out. The Bible says there when the ram in the thicket and when God provided, it says that he went over and took the ram and sacrifices as a burnt offering instead of his son. I believe at times it's the fault of the leadership, not so much the new members that are coming in, when we can't identify that God is touching somebody. We can't identify that somebody's having an experience that you had 5-10 years ago. That's all right, we can't forget what God took us out of. I have a life group going on right now, and I'm identifying with the man real quick. Even though I've been saved 20 years, I still remember being that heroin addict. And even though I haven't touched heroin in 20 years, a cigarette in 20 years, a beer in 20 years, I still can identify. When I see that next man using some words, and he's speaking a language that I was speaking 20 years ago, I'm able to see a leader in the making. I'm able to position someone else to lighten up the load of the leadership. Someone else to start sacrificing. Someone else to start coming and cleaning the church. But too many times as a leadership, we're so caught up in the sacrifice that we never look up and see the sacrifice that the Lord has brought us. Because we're caught up in our own sacrifice. As leaders, we need to be able to identify when the call of God is upon a man's life. As leaders, we need to identify when the call of God is on a woman's life. There's a look. There's a look. If you're sharp enough, you can start looking around during the service, and there's a look when you know the preaching is apprehending somebody in the church. There's certain words they use in the experience. And if you don't forget what God did for you when you got saved, you would be able to identify and say, man, I was saying those very things. Man, I had those same very issues right there that she has, that he's got. Instead of his son. Instead of leader such and such. Instead of leader such and such. We have a fresh leader. Fresh ushers. Because the calling of God is always going forth every time his gospel is preached. The calling of God is always working the heart of man, always touching the man, the woman, the youth member. The call of God goes through and it cuts. It speaks. He speaks. I remember being in the last row coming straight out of prison. I remember how the word of God just cut through 300 people and got me in the back row as a bullseye. I didn't know what was taking place. It's like I shot some dope, but I wasn't shooting dope. I was like getting a rush and saying, what's going on in this place? These people are weird. I was raised as a Catholic all my life. Shh, don't make no noise. You're in 1 hour, out, in and out in an hour. The message lasts about 10 minutes. We need to see that there's other sacrifices in the church. In verse 15, and getting ready to close, the angel of the Lord called out to Abraham from heaven a second time. A second time. I put here, usually when God calls to us a second time, it's because we have not been obedient. But verse 18 says, he called out the second time. Verse 18 says, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Because you have obeyed me. Promotion will always call for sacrifice. Be careful what you pray for. I always say you might just get it. Promotion will always call for sacrifice. Promotion will always call a test from God. Some of you are saying, okay, I got it now. I'm going to stop praying that prayer is what I'm going to start. I'm going to stop praying, Lord, raise me up. Lord, use me. I'm going to stop using that verbiage there. Pastor said it's going to bring a test from God that I can't do on my own ability. I got to make a decision this morning. You got to know that you've been saved with purpose. No matter where you've been, what you've done, you got the purpose of God within your life to make a difference in somebody else's life. I may not be able to grade if you're passing your test so much like on paper, like a teacher would. I may not be able to grade you on paper, say, Brother Sally, Sister Sally, flunk. Joey, A+. I may not be able to grade you where you're at in the test you're in right now. But I put a point here. It says, but your life will show if you're passing the test or not. Your life will show if you're passing the test or not. Whether or not you are answering the call of God upon your life. If the worship team would kindly please come up. Spoke with the leadership this morning. People are looking. When they look at you, can they see a man passing the test of God? When they look at you, can they see a woman that is passing the test? That's cutting her wood, cutting his wood to have enough to have fire? Or are you trying to have a fire without no wood? All tests from God are meant to be passed. And he will provide But I believe here this morning, He is very concerned of those that are still lost. So He says, I'm going to do this to do this. I'm going to do this to do this. I'm going to put brother such and such and in between a rock and a hard place. I want to put sister such and such between a rock and a hard place. I'm going to call to him. I'm going to call to her. And they're going to say, here am I. And I'm going to assure them within their spirit that I am with them. But I'm not going to give them the full revelation. Because I want them to trust me in faith. I want them to trust as me being their provider. So when they give a witness, they're going to be able to say, God did it. God used that brother. God used that sister. I believe the Lord needs witnesses of faith this morning, not just people that come to church. Witness of faith are those that are willing to speak what God has done. They're also willing to speak in what they're going through. And there's times God will call for a separation from friends and everybody just to be alone with you. Because that's all He really, really wants, to be alone with you. To have an intimate relationship with you where you can trust Him and have faith in Him so He can be your provider. Only God is able to receive all the glory and honor without His head swelling up. God wants us to be His witnesses that say, God did this. Abraham was in the sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord called out to him. He said, here am I. And as he looked up, see, some of you need to look up right now. As he looked up, there was the ram in the thicket, in the thorn bush, caught by the horns. I believe that ram in the thicket was there all along, even wiggling and shaking and making noise, caught in that thorn bush. But sometimes we can get so caught up in ministry and poor us. That ram, I believe, was in the thicket. I don't believe after he was obedient, the ram showed up in the bush. It was there all along. See, God's been here for us all along. It's just, we're always looking down. Most drug addicts look down. Most leaders that are doing good, when they're not doing good, look down. They look down. It's not like, I'm going through it. Huh? I am going through it. No, it's usually, man, why me? I'm going to give you the answer, why me, to your why me question. Because God wants to use you. God wants to use you. You got to take what you're going through right now as a springboard, as a platform for God using you as His witness. As His witness. Too many times without the storm, without the test, people just don't go to God in hard times. We need to go to God in the good times. I've seen more people fall off in the good times than in the bad times. In the good times where they don't need a provider, where their job's their provider, where their money and their finances and their smarts is their provider. But man, the valley has one way of getting your attention. The valley has one way of God finally having His way within our lives. Hard times allows all of us to say, am I going to trust God as my provider or am I going back to the world? Amen? Here this day I say, pass the test you're in and watch the witness you're going to have by being obedient. And God will speak to you a second time. and say something like, I told you so. And we can beat ourselves up. Why did I trip for so long? Why did I trip for so long? To hear the love of the Father say, I told you so. I told you that 2 months ago. Yeah, yeah. Why didn't you really tell me? I did. I really, really told you. As we stand this